This is the one with pigmen.
Guys and dolls.
Pigmen.
Andrew freaking Garfield.
The Great Depression.
At least two different final experiments.
And did someone say pigmen?
It's called Daleks in Manhattan.
Here we go!
We're still on our endless voyage, all through time and all through space.
With Levine and Angels now, Daleks, Soilers, and wow!
Tennant, Smith, and Eccleston, Gallifrey, where it all began.
Doctor Who is cool again, that was Russell's master plan.
Who back when? Reviewing all new Who there is. Who back when?
Subscribe and rate on iTunes, please.
Rose and Donna, Amy Pond, Rory, Martha, and beyond. Join us on this odyssey, what other choice could there be than who back when? Who Back When?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast.
Or Dogcast.
You damn right it's either of those things. This is episode N032, Daleks in Manhattan, for better or worse. And with me tonight, on my left, is...
Ponkin.
Hello. And to my right...
Nicolele. How you doing, podcast land?
How are you fine chaps doing today?
Good. I've had a decent amount of martini now, so I'm ready to review this episode.
Yes, just we need to blur it slightly before we can take it.
And on that note, let's jump into a bite-sized chunk of Who. Bite-sized chunk of Who. It's the 1930s, the Empire State Building is being erected. And the project's new shadowy masters need it to climax prematurely.
The master atop the building needs to capture an oncoming gamma strike, and the Daleks, now in Manhattan, are enslaving poor people, which at this point, post-Great Depression, is everyone, to fit it with Dalekanian.
Good thing Andrew Garfield and the dude from Phantom Menace are there to save the day. Also Doc and Martha. Martha to a lesser degree.
Hilarity ensues!
Bees go over.
You are welcome.
Why, thank you.
You are nice when you
are. Okay, so where do we want to start? Cold open?
Cold open.
Yeah. And it only gets colder from there.
Okay, so we're in, obviously, the backstages of a showgirl routine, some sort of cabaret, right?
Yeah.
And they're all getting ready, and they're basically like, it's the 1930s, it's the 1930s, it's the 1930s.
Oh my god, Sarah's like,
yeah. Always depend on the... Yeah,
it's got nothing but, like, can-can girls and one really sad-looking clown.
Yeah, really sad!
The saddest-looking clown.
Why is he
who's
there?
Literally dropped the ball.
It's like, hey guys, you said you'd give me a lift when you were done. And so we're introduced then to the lovers, Tallulah and Laszlo.
Yeah. Tallulah, three L's and an H.
Quit yelling, you schmucks!
That was pretty good from for a lass from Norfolk or Norwich or wherever the fuck she's from.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good accent.
I fairly big caveat, though.
Do you guys feel that, and Doctor Who's probably a good playground for this, or sandbox for this, that British actors do a better American accent than American actors do a British accent?
We would say that, though, wouldn't we?
We would.
Because
but
we
I
know
think
exactly
it's
what they're not
true.
With one exception. Ewan McEffing Gregor.
Oh.
God. Well, yes, so speaking of Phantom Menace... Yeah. Yeah, no, his American accent is terrible. Sorry, Ewan, if you're listening.
Not anymore, he's not.
Yeah, but he's the make weight for Dick Van Dyke, isn't he? He's the other side of this spectrum.
Yeah, he's our generation's Dick Van Dyke. I've always thought that about him.
Anyhow, sorry. So Laszlo and Tallulah are introduced. They love each other very much. She's the star of the show. He's a stagehand.
Yeah.
And she's off to meet his mother.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, they are so super duper in love. Also, about them, before we press record, you, Nick, mentioned that you had looked up Laszlo in the trivia and found that he was actually American.
Actually American, so for Illinois, and a Scorpio.
Nice.
Those
sexy.
Are all of the facts.
Which I think means that in this review, we have to play Spot the American.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, let's just guess.
Sure.
Let's see what happens.
All right.
Yeah. Tallulah, also Scorpio, by the way. Does that make them compatible, or is there going to be friction later on?
Oh, I don't know.
Ooh.
Maybe the listeners
too
right in.
For that.
Okay.
I was not impressed by Laszlo in this cold open.
Why, because he's super duper cheesy?
Well, because she says, how do I look? And he says, like an angel. She's like, that's on the fucking billboard.
she's dressed like an angel and something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like this one. I watched this episode twice, as in rewatched it twice. Once on my iPhone on a train, and once just now before you guys popped by.
Yeah.
The first time, I thought this was cheesy as F. The second time, just a moment ago, I thought, actually, this is kind of a nice scene.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Let's explain how this is presented, though. There is tons of music in the background. Like, there are girls shouting. You can hear the audience clapping in the background. Like, there is the noise of the theatre.
Yeah.
Tallulah has to go on stage. She's called off-screen, basically. The big point there to put a pin in is that she gets a little white rose. Whatever, she scampers off. All of a sudden, we hear a pig. Everything goes quiet. No more audience, no more music, no more clapping, no more anything.
Well, the other thing is that so we're the, we get the whole aliens feature, you know, trick of something very quickly moving across, like a shadow moving across.
Yeah.
And we sort of say, oh God, something moves incredibly quick and is coming for us. But like you said, it's a working theatre.
Yeah.
There are people knocking about.
Moving over everywhere. Except the second that this goddamn pig turns up, spoilers, pig.
Anthropomorphized pig.
Everything.
So it's not like there's just a pig wandering around. Yeah. It looks like a dude, and if you get a bit close, you realise that he's a pig.
I think this makes perfect sense. One, the door to the stage, incredibly soundproof. So anything that happens backstage, the audience is unaware, they can keep enjoying the show. Two, everybody is going to be upstairs backstage. Nobody's going to be in the wings or in the rehearsal area or whatever, in the dressing rooms. They're all going to be there supporting the performance. You don't need extraneous staff.
What about Sad Clown Dude? Sad Clown Dude. We've forgotten about Sad Clown Dude, who's clearly still in the corridor counting his balls. Literally, his balls.
Sad Clown Dude was the warm-up act.
Sad Clown Dude, like, I'm telling you, the circus was elsewhere.
He was just there.
He's like, God, God, I said this would be done by 8. Oh, ringleader's going to kill me.
Our 2 points about this cold open. Number one is we clearly hear, like, oink, oink, pig noises all over the place. And he still keeps calling out, Tallulah? Tallulah?
Is that you?
Like, what? And the second one being that, like, he walks into this sort of prop storage facility. The door, very classic kind of horror scene. The door swings shut. He has to light a match to see his way through. And then he comes across this prop statue that scares him. And when he sees it, it's just like, oh, it was that statue all along. But he's like, fuck you, dude. Are you serious? Are you kidding me, Laszlo?
I really thought that the same thing. It's like, statue don't move, dude. Like that weird, that prop don't move. Like, what's ever stirred you from your, you know, from the dressing room? Quite clearly wasn't this inanimate station.
Wooden object. Yeah.
Which you have worked around for years by this point.
Yes.
This is exactly...
As a stagehand.
Yeah. This is your base.
Also, the weird thing was like, so he's a stagehand.
Yeah.
And there's a stage upstairs and a performance. Shouldn't he be working?
Yeah, there is that. Also, shouldn't he have keys and shit? Does he not know where the light switch is?
Shouldn't he have the slightest fucking bit of wherewithal is what we're saying. They're pirate teasing you again. Because in Gridlock, they mentioned pirates. No pirates. Now there's a fucking mannequin of a pirate.
Oh, you're right.
No pirates!
No pirates.
No animate pirates.
Oh.
Guys.
Been depirated again. Anyway, the cold open closes on...
Laszlo being kidnapped.
By a pig monster.
Yeah.
Second time we've had pig monsters on the show. On Yoohoo.
Really?
Probably in all of Doctor Who. Well, we had the Rhizocorphalopatorians had turned a pig into a bunny ped in... what's it called? Avians in London?
Cardiff.
Avians of London.
Oh, so that was a man pig, and now we've got pig men.
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyhow, episode.
Episode.
The actual thing. So, Martha and Doc materialise on Liberty Island, but not future Liberty Island, but past Liberty Island.
Yeah, old New York.
Old New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought they missed an opportunity here, because they materialise in the sort of next to the platform, the plinth, and they could have been working out where they were and then look up at them. You know, that'd have been a nice goof. They didn't. They're just like, where are we? New York. Cool.
I don't remember. Is there, in the opener here, is there any point where the Doctor goes like, oh, I got the right one now, or like we got to the right version of York, like it you know, is there anything like that? Because just had them in New York.
They mention that.
Okay.
They're like, Martha said, I've always wanted to be here, and not the.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right.
I wanted to come here. I understand there's, or at least from what I gather, there's a bit of a goof here where they're looking out from the area of Liberty Island they're at, and they couldn't see the Empire State Building. They're looking at the wrong part of the Manhattan. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But anyway, they spot.
Martha picks up a newspaper.
Yes.
And the Doctor thinks, wow, your detective skills have really improved.
Yeah.
And which year is it?
1931.
God damn it.
It's not, it's November the 1st, 1930.
Is it 30?
Oh, it's still God damn it, because I misremembered. I thought it was 33, and then I've made a note further on to say, like, really? Was the Great War really 13 years ago? Anyway, yeah, turns out they were right.
Yep.
Fuck it.
having said that, there's some other things, and we'll get to it later on, but Hooverville
didn't
really become a thing until a year later, 1931. So that's the thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of the buildings that are actually depicted in the sort of the scape
didn't exist at the time.
Like 90s. Well, like built to like the 90s, yeah.
Oh, really? Because it seemed that they were going to some effort to dampen down the skyline a bit.
Yeah, a little bit, but then they just put a sepia tone over everything and thought, it's oldie worldy now.
Fair enough. I bought it, in a way.
Yeah.
Maybe the shanty town was there, but the mainstream media just repressed all reports of it, and so it only came to light many months later.
Okay, so anyway, they go to Hooverville, and we get to know two characters. One, like, the leader of the community, Solomon.
Vroom, vroom.
And I believe Nick has something to say about this.
Solomon played by...
Phantom Menace.
No, played by the guy that played Captain Panekka in Phantom Menace. And I'm going to bow out of Guess the American on this one. Any takers? American or British?
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Or else?
American.
British.
I think he's born in Ghana.
Oh, really?
But he does quite a lot of British stuff. So, yes, he was Captain Panekka of Star Wars, and his name's Solomon.
Which is an ideal name to give him because...
He apparently, I mean, unless we've just caught him at a very, very specific time where he's never done this before, he solves all of Hooverville's ills by cutting things in half, like Solomon.
Thank God that guy hadn't stolen the other guy's baby.
Yeah. that guy took my lawnmower. Cut it in half. And it's just, how lazy is that? I'll call him Solomon, then point to Solomon. Look at him, he's a wise old
I didn't even think about the bread thing until now.
Really? I just sat there just like slapping my face with an egg. They can't have thought this. It would have been much more pointy if they called him something else and he'd still done the Solomon thing. They'd be like, oh, like Solomon.
Yeah.
No. Call him Solomon and make him do something Solomon thing in the first 2 minutes of him appearing on screen.
This isn't even the first time in his career he's been called Solomon.
Yes, oh, that's yes. True. So, no, he wasn't called Solomon.
He was the father of...
He was called of Nicole, in what looks like Nicolelli on IMDb, for a film called Solomon and Escher.
Solomon and Sheba?
Sheba, that might be right, or Sheba, yeah. Yeah, weird, in 1995, that I remember. but anyway, so he's this character that's quite clearly supposed to be the weird chieftain of Hooverville and is... The fair and wise old king.
Exactly. He's the community leader. Now, we've all been on IMDb, I think, looking up stuff about this episode. Looked at some of the reviews on there. Some of the biggest problems that people have is, there's a black guy in charge of a camp. It's political correctness gone mad.
Oh, really? I read zero reviews.
Yeah. One, there's a black Dalek in charge of the cult of Skaro. So you can fucking suck on that. And two, this is a socialist utopia in the 1930s that the mainstream media are trying to repress. Of course, a black guy's in charge of it.
They explain it in the midst of it. They're just like, well, no one's got anything, so we just...
So we're all equal. Yeah. We're all equally starving.
And he's just a decent dude. It's a meritocracy. Imagine that.
Yeah. Mm. We also meet another chap, Frank. Oh, sorry, Nick.
Sorry, to backpedal, the reason they go to Central Park was the paper that
says
disappearances.
Hooverville mystery deepens.
Yeah. Poor people disappear and we have a slow news day.
Is it? Yeah, it must have been, because all through the rest of the episodes, like, nobody cares about our strata of society at all. We could disappear, no one would notice. But it's the headline.
Yeah,
very good point. But also, why does the Doctor care? There are injustices all across space and time, but he genuinely feels that this merits his intervention. This is a person who doesn't want to, or in some instances in Doctor Who, has said he is unable to affect change throughout history. Why would he care?
Yeah.
Why would he say, like, oh, I think we need to stay here a bit longer because there's a mystery?
Maybe it's like his way of filtering. It's just like, okay, if the shit happens in front of me, I'll do something about it. Otherwise...
So to me, it seemed as though he immediately assumed that there was some sort of alien influence.
Yeah. It's a very simple, illogical leap.
Okay, how come this never happens? He goes somewhere, there have been, like, missing people or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he investigates, and it's just some fucking serial killer from Ipswich.
Yeah.
Let's write that.
It's not aliens at all, it's just some fucked up dude.
Also, if we're drawing analogies here, has he not picked up a Daily Express in the last 20 years and thought, I've got to get to the bottom of this royal family conspiracy shit?
Yeah. And they're all werewolves. So we meet another chap as well, Frank. Who is
Andrew fucking Garfield.
Exactly what I've written in my notes.
I don't know that. I didn't look that up.
Everyone's a Scorpio.
Everyone's a Scorpio.
Very early role. The only thing that I read about him on IMDb was that he was good friends with Matt Smith before Matt Smith became the Doctor, and weirdly he's on Doctor Who before Matt Smith.
Interesting.
But yeah, fucking Spider-Man is in this. Yeah. Also, how often did you hear Spider-Pig while you're watching this?
I did not know.
I was definitely thinking of that. Because I did think at one point, oh, he's going to turn into a pig and maybe it's going to be something, something.
Yeah.
My note on this scene, however, was everybody's wearing hats and I like it. Because people did. This is good research.
Well done.
So there was, we were scrabbling about in the dirt, but we understand that this should be some sort of weird socialist utopia.
Yeah.
Damn capitalism, ills, etc.
And people have been disappearing.
Yes. And we should blame the rich people for this.
Well, very clearly.
Immediately.
Except the rich people in this case manifested by the erection of the Empire State Building, which also happens to be the location or headquarters of the people who are actually kidnapping people.
Yeah. Don't mistake my tone, podcast land. That's absolutely exactly what you should do when you see random poor people going missing. Blame the rich people. Follow the money, podcast land. Follow the money. We then go investigating, is that right?
Well, no, I think we cut to the Empire State. But we have that scene where it's like, exactly as you said, blame the rich people. But it's Solomon blaming the rich people. And he goes like, oh, check out that building. How can they build the tallest building ever when people are starving? And, you know, right here in this shantytown, points at the Empire State Building, cut to the Empire State Building. Oh, we're the bad guys.
But you don't cut to that immediately. You cut to, like, a recreation of all those shots you get on people's walls.
Of the girders. Oh, which was really well done.
Yeah.
I really, really liked it.
But then, so we're introduced to
Duplicitous? Yeah, Diagoras.
It's like Gordon Gekko's, like, great-great-great-granddad.
Yeah.
And he's talking with a union guy who has the single worst American accent in this entire episode, and indeed acting style.
Yeah, he's
anyone I've ever seen.
I'm going to say that guy is English.
I will do the needful, and you guys...
Yeah, you IMDb him.
Utterly dreadful. Not just his accent, but his facial expressions are constantly just a bundle of ticks and twitches, and he's pushing his cat forward.
I was gonna say, I hated everything about his performance except when he pushed his cap forward. I thought that was awesome.
Oh, I just thought that was the icing on the cake of shit.
Yeah, but some of us like shit cakes, okay?
Okay.
That entire scene is so terribly, terribly crafted, though.
I was going to say so terribly, terribly, terrible.
And guess what film...
Oh, shit, Boz.
He's most famous for...
Die Hard 2.
Saving Private Ryan.
What? Right. Yeah, but what did he play? He played, like, tree number 4.
Hopefully a corpse.
Trask.
Who's this guy? Is this Duplicitous or Union Man?
This is the foreman.
Oh, wait. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, which one, though? Because we get another foreman later on.
Foreman, no, maybe it's him. I'm looking at Ian Porter.
And he is definitely an American. The second one is definitely it.
Okay.
Oh, well, anyway, so this scene is terribly crafted, I think, because, I mean, he's basically saying, if you keep, I don't know, prolonging our working hours, and if you keep changing the deadlines around, then I'm going to tell all of my dudes to go on strike, basically.
Yeah.
And Mr. Diagoras goes, well, I'm going to introduce you to the new masters. And from that point on, up until the point when we actually get to see the masters, they just try to one-up each other. And it's terrible. It's like, where are they from? They're from out of town. Where? Do you mean Italy? Further away. How much further? Further than that, even. It just goes on and on and on and on. It's absolutely terrible.
I was going to also request, could you soundbite from the guy saying, we're on schedule, to we'll be done? Because there isn't one American word in that whole thing. He sort of goes past it, and then he pulls back, and then he's gone past it again.
Okay.
But we're on schedule! What's the problem? Another month and we'll be done!
What?
No.
All right.
So, Mr. Diagoras.
Yes.
Eric Lauren. American or not American?
Oh, God. Oh,
not.
So you got a not.
Wait for it. I would say American. Just to be contrarian.
Leon's right.
Boom!
boss in Massachusetts.
Total guess, by the way.
Oh, that's why he can't do a New Yorker.
In Saving Private Ryan.
What?
Okay.
And a Scorpio.
Is it just me? I think someone in a casting office just dropped a bunch of papers at some point.
Well, hang on. There are 13 episodes in a Doctor Who season, so they think we can definitely get enough if we try and get one episode done by each sign of the zodiac, and that way we'll never be short of extras. Because that's how casting works, right?
Yeah, yeah, pretty sure I read that somewhere. Yeah.
And then for the 13th episode, Doc's not in that anyway. So.
Anyway.
A lift is approaching.
A lift is approaching.
As I said in the previous episode, there is nothing scarier than numbers going up.
Oh my god, I feel like you need to take it from here.
The lift arrives, and the light comes on in the central roundel in the design. And what's behind a round thing with a light that comes on?
Another round thing with a light that comes on.
Yeah, and it's usually attached to a Dalek.
Yeah.
When I was watching this for the first time back when it aired, to even now, that I was thinking, this seems like such an early reveal. So
The whole episode is called Daleks in Manhattan.
Well, exactly that too, but you know, if you'd have just flipped it on in the 2000s on BBC, Why?
Yeah, you are. No, you're right. You're right. They should have kept it until later. Yeah. We didn't need
it. Second episode or at the end of this one, that would have, that's a much more classic Who style.
Bring him in right away.
No, bring him in at the end of the first episode of the serial. Cybermen, Moonbase or whatever.
But proportionally, isn't it not sort of the same? Because,
Yeah, I guess.
How many episodes is Moonbase or another one that we did?
But structurally very different. Proportionally the same, structurally very different.
The problem with that is that's exactly what they did with Army of Ghosts. So they couldn't just retread that.
Maybe.
No, I feel like there were quite a few episodes or serials of Classic Who where they show some alien very, very early on.
Oh, maybe. Perhaps then.
But
you felt way too early, especially because what we'd already had sort of been, we'd been given the henchmen, slaves. So we could have done more with pig slaves and then and Diagoras.
Yeah.
And then, had the mislead, of him being the big ultimate baddie, but actually it being the Daleks.
It also seems like he presses the button to summon the lift. Doors open. Dalek comes out. Dalek goes, I've been summoned. This fucking Dalek is totally Diagoras' bitch, because you just press a lift button and a Dalek pops up. There are four Daleks left. That's it. Spoilers, by the way. Is he just constantly loitering around a lift waiting for someone to press a button and then rush to it before the doors close?
Waiting in the lift.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So we have three effective Daleks in the world and one who's just constantly on a lift with four pig guys. By the way, I have a question. Where did Daleks get all the pig onesies from? Because they all wear, mechanics onesies.
Oh, I assume they were BBC prop handlers onesies.
Where did they get all the pigs? It's middle of Manhattan.
I think we need to discuss how... Let's discuss it when we get to possibly the very end of this episode. But, I think we need to discuss how they do the whole gene splicing thing. Because it makes no sense to me.
Okay. Fair. You've given us some good thinking time.
Okay.
An hour from now, we will come back to you with an excellent response.
Fantastic. Shit, an hour from now? All right, let's go. Let's make a move.
Right, okay, so we're...
Oh, yeah, he's bundled into the lift, this Union Hack, for the final experiment.
Yeah, he's going to the final experiment. That's final experiment one.
Right, yeah. And he's gone. We don't see him again. Yeah. So that final experiment definitely happens.
This episode just blows his load all over the place. Why limit yourself, Daleks? Why does this have to be the final experiment? Why not just call it experiment number 7? And if you want to go to 8, you've got the option.
I think this is Dalek overcompensation. Every single time the Daleks do anything, it is the most bombastically awful and awesome thing ever. So every experiment they have, I think, is the final experiment. Because we have a minimum of 2 very, very different and distinct experiments, both of which are referred to as the final experiments. And I'm willing to bet that this dude, this foreman, is turned into a pig slave.
Yeah.
And so that's also one. So actually, we have 3 final experiments.
Well, Dalek perspective is notoriously limited.
He's off and...
The plan must not fail!
Yes, Dalek exposition.
There is a lot of Dalek exposition in this episode. More than... I don't know, the Daleks are usually this talky.
I love it. They just have so the final experiment, no contingency plan. That's not fair. I was maybe have a plan B. Come on, guys. Stuff goes wrong. Shit project managers.
And what the Dalek says is that the reason it must not go wrong is because they anticipate a gamma strike, whatever the shit that is, to approach to strike the Empire State Building, and they need to tap that energy. It's like it's Back to the Future. Like, they know exactly when lightning's going to strike. They need something to harness it, right?
Yes, it's not revealed in this episode.
No. Did you guys watch the next one, by the way?
Hell no.
Yeah. Nor I haven't rewatched it.
I'm hoping JD subs for me next week.
I saw that years and years ago.
Back in Hooverville, Solomon is throwing away perfectly good water.
You're right. You're so right.
He's angry because he can't cut it in half. Okay, so we're back in Hooverville.
Yeah.
And Diagoras?
That's Mr. Diagoras.
Oh, no, here's the thing. So Diagoras explains to the Daleks, because their plan must not fail, that, you know, work is plentiful and cheap. Or, you know, workers are plentiful and cheap. Mm. It's like, I was sat there to think, why do they pay so little? Why do the Daleks pay so little?
Cheap bastards. Pay lots and you will have guaranteed labour.
Daleks aren't made of money. They've got to, you know, they've got to build the fucking Empire State Building. How much do you think that's costing them?
Is it, oh, like they share one debit card? With like a $250 maximum spend.
Wait, hang on. Are they building the whole Empire State Building? Or have they just suddenly showed up and, like, killed the actual foreman and taken over the job?
I think they've built the whole thing under the guise of Diagoras.
Really? But why do they have to make it pretty? Why do they have to do anything? Why can't they just, like, enslave lots of humans to build a very tall, easy...
Why don't they just come and murder everyone, is what you're telling me in a roundabout way.
Because no one can stop a single Dalek. There are four. They can kill everyone on Earth.
Yes.
As they should do next week.
We said we'd get had a moratorium. pun intended.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Don't tell bad guys how to be bad guys.
But... I know what you mean. They could just erect a 2,000-pound pole on a much cheaper slice of real estate out of town.
Much lower budget. Very easily erected, right? Very quick to put up. That would solve all of their problems. But also,
why is it not like Mexico City or some shit?
Dude, gamma strike. Hello.
Of course.
Yeah, it's at a certain latitude, honestly.
What pissed me off about that was the Daleks. Like, why did the Dalek, whatever that Dalek is called, Sek? No, Sek is the leader.
Sek, and there were two others.
There was a Dalek Khan before who was the leader. Was Dalek Khan killed before? Because now Dalek Sek is the leader.
No, there are still four. They definitely say they're...
The Dalek Khan was the leader.
Yeah, before, right? Yeah. Now it's Dalek Sek. Anyway, whatever. This Dalek, why does he assume, assuming it's a dude, why does he assume that Mr. Diagoras knows what a gamma strike is? And you go like, we have to complete this, there is a gamma strike!
Maybe he explained it before, when they started the Empire State.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'll take it back.
Anyhow, but...
This is why it can't be built in Mexico City, you moron!
Getting back to the economics of the situation, why do they... Like, so they quite clearly have the means to manipulate, I don't know...
Shit tons of people.
Yeah, and get money and whatever. Why did they, like, really scrounge on the workforce? Because if you... It was like, oh, it's a dollar... Pythagoras goes down to... Pythagoras goes down to the Central
Different
Park. To canvas... For workers, he's like, oh, it's a dollar a day. It's like, that's slave wages. Like, just make it $2 a day and
have more volunteers. Yeah.
And you can kill them and not pay them, which is your intention. So I don't really understand why you're like, you get $100 an hour.
He just wanted to gloat. He just wanted to belittle them, I think.
I think what we were trying to get there as a from a writer's standpoint is that...
He's really bad. He is
Not just that, but the framing of this is the Great Depression and this is actually what happened to people, but for legitimate jobs. Legitimately dangerous, shitty jobs, like a dock worker job or whatever.
So when the kids who watched this in whenever it was, 2007 or something, when they go through their history books and it's like, oh, well, people were forced to work for a dollar a day, they'll be like, yeah, well, of course, because they were working for fucking Daleks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've got a question as well.
Yeah.
They've got lots of pig slaves. Why don't they just get the pig slaves to build it?
They're low intelligence.
Yeah, they do say that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we are definitely going to have a conversation about that as well. Anyway.
So Solomon rebuffs Pythagoras' advances on behalf of the entirety of Hooverville.
Yeah, but then ends up volunteering anyway.
So the Doctor volunteers, as does Martha, to go down a sewer. As does Spider-Man, to fix... there has been a collapse. And Solomon comes along to keep the kids safe, I think. Is that the inference?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Actually, I made a mistake before. This is where Andrew Garfield shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my note. Andrew freaking Garfield.
You will hear me try and say 30 minutes ago, are you sure that's where
I think you're right, yeah.
I always shout it down. We also have, before they go to the sewers, Solomon properly explaining to the doctor people are disappearing and they're not coming back and he's in the tent and they're just vanishing into thin air and the doctor's... Well, Martha and the doctor are quizzing him entirely separately. Like in the last few episodes where they're not really... There's no chemistry between them. Doctor's out on this side of the tent, you see him ask a question. Martha's on that side of the tent, asks a completely different question and just back and forth between the two of them.
What I did like was the explanation.
Yeah.
That was cool. It was like, well, people must go...
Yeah, it's a very good line.
Time. And they said, you know, people wouldn't leave everything. When you got nothing, you keep hold of what you got. It's like,
that's
a good line.
Well written. Yeah. Well written.
That is a much better framing of the era that they're in than the fucking paying a dollar a day.
Well, I guess both of them work pretty well hand in hand. But that line is particularly well written, really, and it doesn't really feel like it was written by whoever wrote the dialogue upstairs. That was caught in a redraft.
The attempts at realism in this wildly fantastical sci-fi episode are the best bits.
Yeah. They really are. You want more New York, don't you? You want more New York, and you want more Central Park and all those other things, and less Dalek pig slave. I think that's the equation here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.
Okay, so Spider-Man, Solomon, Doc and Martha go down the sewers and Spider-Man immediately goes, you could hide an army down here.
Wow.
I wonder if that's foreshadowing.
He's talking about his grandpappy who fought on the side of the South in Tennessee.
Holy crap. Whoa.
That's what I think anyway.
It's like I can smell the tobacco. The chewing tobacco.
Yeah. You're joined by the colonel, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, they get to know each other a little bit, Frank and Martha. And we get Frank's backstory, which is he was sent out of the home, of the family, the familial home, because he was the oldest and they couldn't afford to keep him.
Yeah, because I think his uncle was killed by a mugger and then he ran away.
That took me a few seconds.
But again, him coming to New York via the railroads, just hitching rides and looking for opportunity there, that's another shot of decent realism.
Yeah.
The little Asobo.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but actually, I agree with you.
Okay, but so the doctor makes an astute point as they're wandering and chatting.
No collapse yet.
Yeah, they walked half a mile, no collapse.
Until they stumble upon some weird space booger.
Yeah.
Translucent, glow-in-the-dark shit.
Dalek splooge. It was the rejected member from the cult of Scar. He's like the fifth Beatle.
Yeah, he was the Spice Girl that didn't have rhythm. Splugy Splice. Splugy Splice.
And you've got to pick it up.
You've got to pick it up.
Yeah.
I loved that line. Yeah. I loved her delivery of it. I loved the right everything about that line.
I thought the same thing, yeah. You've got to pick it up.
We haven't really talked about Martha so far. What is your impression of Martha up until this point in the episode?
Yeah, she's pretty good, I think.
Yeah?
I think so.
We have in the beginning, we have a lot of like, oh my God, I can't believe, she's not American. Yeah. Like, oh my God, I can't believe that we're traveling through time. This is amazing. It's like, you've been all over time and space.
You were kidnapped by like a cat.
Yeah.
she couldn't relate to any of that before. This time, she's like, I've seen this in all the old newsreels. Now it's come to life.
Shakespeare.
What? Newsreels?
No, but like surely she's read about Shakespeare.
Like some moldy old First Folio.
Weird Middle English.
She's still excited. I'd still be pretty excited. I wouldn't be like, whatever's next.
Okay, yeah.
But, so, yeah, I know I actually think she's been pretty good and super hot in this one particularly. Don't know why.
Okay, I don't think that her appearance has changed in any way, but I feel like she's almost not part of the story at all. I feel like she's just kind of tagging along and enabling the Doctor's lines.
That is absolutely what's happening. She's always enabling something else or being a device. There's very little... I probably latched onto this line because it's the only sort of Martha-specific thing that...
That changes later on in that episode.
That changes, but then I would argue that Doc hasn't had a lot to do so far.
I don't know. He takes her to Hooverville. He tore... Actually, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's true.
He's done nothing so far. But it does change towards, like, I guess, Act 3 of this episode, Martha suddenly gains some agency and turns a little bit badass. As does the Doctor, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, where were we?
Well, this is the second appearance of the Empire State Building in Who Back When.
Yes, it is. We had the Empire State Building in The Chase.
The Chase. With
The Chase.
Always The Chase.
Hartnell, Vicky.
Was it Vicky? Babs. It was Vicky, yes. And Ian and Babs and... Oh, fuck. What was his name?
It's not just those guys.
Yes, it is those guys, but they meet a fake American up top on the Empire State Building who is played by, in the same serial, the next companion. And I can remember neither his name nor the companion name.
Future Ponk.
God damn it. Future Ponk. Bing bong, Future Ponk in here. That would be Peter Purvis appearing as the American chap in the same serial in which he would later appear as the next companion, Stephen Taylor. Bing bong.
There's another, biblical thing that Solomon does at this point.
Oh, what's that?
He's walking through the sewers and he says, man can go from being king to the lowest of the low, and the other way around. Which is like, last will be first and the first will be last. It seemed quite pointed to me, but then I am biased.
It took me a second. I was like, oh, bible-y.
That's a good bible.
Solomon.
Don't know the reference, but yeah, very bible-y.
Matthew 20:16.
Ah.
I made a note. I don't know that stuff off my head.
That's not Matthew this year.
I can't wait to find out what happens at the end.
Turns out Jesus did it.
There was another good thing I liked, which is that the camera looks like it's going to pan up through the layers of sewers and everything, and then it's tracking up the blueprint. Oh. I thought that was a fairly decent alternative to what you'd expect.
Oh, is that the, like, oh, where are we, and everyone looks up, and it's a blueprint of the Empire State Building?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very nice. And yeah, exactly. We cut from down in the sewers to, once again, Mr. What's-His-Face and Dalek 347. And yeah, and they look out over Manhattan and we get a kind of an echo of the Eccleston line, or the line delivered by the Dalek to Eccleston in the episode Dalek, where it's like, you would make a good Dalek. Here it's, you think like a Dalek.
Yeah.
So now, Mr. What's-His-Face, Mr. Stradivarius, is selected for, yet again, the final experiment, I believe, which is a different final experiment. Is it not?
Is it this point?
At the very least, the other Daleks are spying on Stradivarius through the eye stalk of 347, and Dalek Sek goes, hey, Stradivarius is like the number one honcho, bring him to me, which is very clearly... the final experiment.
Yeah, I think that's the final experiment.
But is it the final experiment? Because isn't the thing on the roof the final experiment?
Yeah. No, we've missed a bit.
Oh, what have we missed?
We've missed down the sewers that...
Oh, shit, the piglets.
No, that comes after. At this point, you've got the Dalek take on the Time War.
Okay.
You get to see more from their perspective.
Oh, yeah, actually, this is super interesting. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, saying that his planet is gone, it was destroyed in a great war. I mean, Daleks can't express sorrow, but you've got exactly what the Doctor was talking about in Gridlock an episode ago.
Yeah,
from Daleks.
From their point of view.
And you just think, if you just learn to empathise, one of you... and made a connection to the other, this whole thing could have been avoided.
Which we, in fact... see happen in one of the very first episodes of season 8 or season 9, whatever it was, Into the Dalek was the episode, where the Doctor Capaldi teaches a Dalek to empathise, and all of a sudden the Dalek goes totally haywire and starts shooting other Daleks. But yes, you're right. It is almost line for line what the Doctor said very, very recently.
Just a bit less emotion.
Yeah, and just like Tennant is the last of the Time Lords, these are the last of the Daleks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Dalek at the same time is it almost expressing admiration for humans' ability to survive put New York's all over the galaxy throughout history.
Yeah. Diagoras talks about the Great War and his now fervent ability to survive. He'll do whatever it takes, and so he sees his admiration in that, and that's what leads to the admiration of the human race.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why Dalek Sek, looking through 347, goes, this dude, my man, bring him to me.
Yeah. And they go up to the Dalek
lab. Maga!
Yeah, sorry, go for it.
They go up to the Dalek lab at this point, and there are lots of round peepholes, glass chambers, and chemistry sets.
And something happens. I made a note of it because it looked like a blooper to me, but it then actually appears in the trivia on IMDb. And there's an actual explanation for it. I put in my notes, he puts on black gloves when he turns up, but later on, well alert, cover your ears, people who don't want to be spoiled. The thing, the human Dalek, isn't wearing gloves. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a full suit and spats and everything, but isn't wearing gloves. And that's because in this scene, the reason he puts on gloves is because the actual, like, prop hands for the human Dalek hadn't been produced, and they thought that they wouldn't have any prop hands, so they figured the human Dalek will wear black gloves, and that's the only reason why he puts on black gloves in that scene when he goes upstairs.
Nice.
Yeah, but they ended up producing the gloves, the hand props anyway, so that's why he shows up without them.
Good spot.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, sorry.
And he's introduced to Dalek Sek at this point, and he's grovelling and saying, oh, my lords, oh, I've had you in my mind, and it's been lovely, and what a great time we're having. And then he just said, cease talking!
Yeah.
Which is my thoughts exactly.
Meanwhile, there are, like, pig slaves all over the place. Yeah. There are so many of them. I'm starting to think that pig slaves are what happened to Jabba's guards when they retire.
Honestly, you watch one Rogue One trailer, and all you can think about...
That was a really cool trailer.
And Captain Panacco is all over the show.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, at this point, you get down back in the sewers, and you hear a piggy squeal. There are quick cuts, and there's a camera looking down there, and it's not down there, and it's looking that way, and it's not over there either, and it's, oh, shit, they're everywhere, and it's sort of failing to generate tension, but they're trying.
Yeah. So we get a lot of running through tunnels, being chased by pig monsters. Then...
Well, no, because first of all, you've got the
strangely
alluring pig. Like, the pig excites the Doctor's compassion, which he hasn't had for a couple of episodes now, so quite a feat.
Okay,
yeah. And he's just sitting looking forlorn against the wall. I don't know why. That's never explained. It's not like he's Laszlo, because Laszlo turns up late looking completely different.
Yeah.
And being, well, his own character. So I don't know what this pig... Was this pig bait? Are they that clever?
I don't think so. I think, like, every now and then... I think Frank was right, because Frank, a.k.a. Spider-Man, he says...
Oh, is it Spider-Man?
But Spider-Man says, there may be survivors, they may be stuck down here, and wouldn't you go crazy if you were stuck in the sewers for, like, ages? I reckon this is just a pig dude. He's a Jabba god who's, like, massively crazy for having stayed out down there by himself.
Mm. Yeah. Buy that.
Yeah. Or possibly, like, they didn't erase all of his emotions or all of his intellect or something, and there's, like, an ounce of self-identification in there.
Could be.
It's pretty terrible.
Also, maybe the sewers aren't dirty enough for the pigs, because these are very clean sewers. Pigs would relish wallowing in filth.
Yeah.
And there isn't any. It's almost cruel.
Oh, that's... That is really true. But I am still assuming that there is, like, at least a thin, like, a worthy of mention layer of shit all over the place, including where that space booger was, the Dalek splooge, that the Doctor, by the way, is now just carrying inside his coat pocket.
I'm not going to accept his next toothbrush, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Martha, Doc, Solomon, and Peter Parker. So keep wandering around the sewers with the space booger. And then they come across the pig.
Yeah.
And then they get approached by more pigs.
And we get the chase scene. Run! Which then culminates in that very, very frequently, all too frequently used trope of someone has to, like, the last one in line has to stop running, pick something up, and, like, lose time and momentum just by, like, for nothing.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, Spider-Man does now.
Yeah.
Absolute garbage.
He gets bitten by a radioactive pig.
Yeah. Spider-pig. Anyway, the rest climb up, and what do we get?
We get the Doc screaming, no! He hasn't been this animated all series.
And yeah, so he wants to go back for, you know, 30 seconds worth of friend. So we've got to go back.
No. No.
Yeah, Solomon has to be the restraining factor, influence in the room.
Yeah. Thank God we've got Tallulah there. Hands in the air, no funny business, you schmucks. I can't do the accent at all, I apologize. Well,
some guys are just pigs.
Great line.
Not my Laszlo.
Cool. Okay. We get a forlorn looking Tallulah tell us about how Laszlo's been kidnapped. Or doesn't know that. Just Laszlo's run off. She thinks she can run off. You know, why would a guy invite him to meet him, invite you to meet his mother and then take off?
Yeah, right. Logically checks out.
Yeah. I think there are two things happening at the same time. There's like, oh, what? Maybe not at the same time. Oh, whatever the fuck it is. We've got Doctor and Solomon talking about like how we now need to rig up some sort of weird rudimentary DNA scanner thing to identify this piece of shit that I picked up in the sewers.
Yeah, funny that it's crawling with DNA.
By the way, the Doctor refers to it as Soundbite 25 Minutes.
Just rigging up a crude little DNA scan for this beastie.
A beastie? Which is what former companion wee little Jamie would call every alien.
A beastie.
It was a beastie. Yeah. But so that's going on in, like, behind door number one. And behind door number two, we've got Martha and Tallulah with three L's and one H totally just telling each other how wet they are for their respective boyfriends or non-boyfriends.
Yep.
And or just the man they're in the room with most often.
And that's where we get the Tallulah thing. But Martha as well totally confesses to being in love with the Doctor and also confirms he does not appreciate me in that fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now it's like it's official. It's out there. Isn't that something? Just me?
We can set this
fuck
in
you
train.
Guys. That was awesome.
We can spend the rest of the season wondering, will they, won't they, will they, won't they? That's all I can think about.
That sounds like a new theme song.
Welcome to Will They, Won't They. Martha is very keen on telling the police throughout this episode.
Oh.
And it makes some sort of sense. She doesn't take the hint, but she does at least ask when, as a viewer, our response might be, why don't you tell the police?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
In this or every famous five book ever.
And Tallulah has explanations for all of these things. Yeah. Like, no, I'd lose my job if I raised a fuss. Yeah, fair point.
Yeah. There's some thinking that's gone into this episode.
Yeah, I think so as well. And then we get another District 9 moment because someone is still leaving a white flower for Tallulah in her room every day.
Mm.
So, question. How long ago was Laszlo... Like, how long ago did Laszlo disappear? Because I get the impression that it was, like, yesterday.
If that...
Yeah. What's this with a daily flower? How... Where no, is... this was not, like, a week ago.
No.
Where is he sourcing these flowers?
Sewers. They're sewer flowers.
Sewer white roses.
He is 100% giving Tallulah sewer flowers.
Giving her sewer seconds. Yeah.
Every day there's a white flower and a brown trout.
So Solomon has gone back to camp,
mm-hmm.
and he's rousing his underclass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and people and Frank are being taken, and I made a pledge for peace, but now take up arms! Just setting up stuff for later.
Yeah, exactly.
Che Guava.
And then you get on the top of the Empire State Building, workers heaving the heavy, heavy cardboard into place.
Oh, yeah, which we didn't even talk about, which is the first mention of Dalekanium, which are, we even see the bits of Dalek that have been stripped, as in we see where those bits used to be attached to
Dalek.
Again,
slight note here, that I would have thought, what would have been cool as this first episode is that we don't know it's the Daleks, but we see panels like that.
Yeah, which, like, sort of give it away.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
And then we get this, like, you know, fuck's sake.
Yeah, I agree. But we, I mean, not only does the episode name give it away, we already saw Daleks in the next time on Doctor Who, last episode.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, all of that could have been erased and redone
yeah.
in a different way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They I agree. They definitely should have done that.
I just see opportunities for that to have been a better reveal over the show.
Yeah.
They didn't seem interesting in holding anything back because I read about this episode a bit online and lots of people were complaining about how the full-on Dalek human was on the cover of the Radio Times.
Oh, yeah,
month.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Not even that, which they took a couple of minutes to reveal at the end of the episode. People, everyone knew exactly what was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they bungled everything.
Yeah, total nonsense. Speaking of Daleks, we're going back to the Daleks now.
Yes, because the chromatin solution is ready!
Yeah, which I think is part of the final experiment.
Yeah, that's
final experiment. Asterix. May not be final experiment.
Terms and conditions apply. Oh, and at this point, the other Daleks, decide to voice some objections to the
plan. Yeah, do you know why? Because not even they know what the final experiment is. That's why. They're like, Dalek Sec, you have got to be out of your fucking mind.
Actually, you know what pissed me off about this? Is that quite clearly, like, things were constructed and whatever, and they were like, final experiment, this is what we can do, we can do this, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Go get this guy. It's like, did no one thought, you know, just the inception meeting, the, like, initial meeting, everyone go, should we not? Why do you wait all until the last, like, that's like some bullshit, like, it's like people you work with after something has already happened go, told you it was a shit idea. Like, that doesn't help me, we're already here.
Well, that much is true to life, then.
Yeah.
They definitely could have exposited this earlier. If they needed it at all.
Daleks do nothing but produce exposition. How can they keep this huge a deal from each other? Like,
yeah.
At no point did a Dalek go, why are we building this lab? Like,
yeah.
He goes, yeah, we've completed the serum. for which we have no use as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, 10 minutes ago it was all, we obey, not what the fuck.
But so, okay, they don't want to do it because it will fuck up the purity of their race, right?
Yeah.
And they're space Nazis.
Yeah, but Daleks...
Time Nazis, sorry.
Time or... But Dalek Sek actually finally sort of confesses that Daleks aren't supreme, like they aren't the ultimate being. Yeah,
if we're supreme, why are there only four of us?
Exactly.
Great, that was a good line.
Yeah,
yeah,
finally.
But the obvious answer to why are we not supreme? Time Lords.
Time Lords, yeah. Goddamn Time Lords. They're ruining for all of us.
So actually, if he'd really followed his thought process, it'd have been, why are there so many humans? Oh, he's never really went to war with the Time Lords. Or any other races that were much, much, much superior to them.
Maybe it's this one sodding Time Lord who ruins us and protects humans. Maybe we should direct our energies on him. And if he turns up and stands in a line, we should probably do something about that. But anyway...
Okay, so Dalek... Oh, the other thing that annoys me about this scene is that Dalek Sek says, you've all sacrificed something, and then we get this long, like, exposure of one of the Daleks...
Dalek ass.
Dalek ass. that has donated his Dalekanium, and he's got, like, a bit of, like, cladding on it.
Yeah, like, you can see at least one lesser. I think there's, like, a bee on there or something, so it's, like, a bit of just metal off a building that they popped on there.
Yeah, that's bee for building bits.
Yeah. That all being cute.
Well, like, I assume that it was actually part of, you know, the material that they used to build the Empire State Building.
Yeah. It's bee for bodge butt.
It's actually wicks. Anyhow, but it's kind of like, it doesn't seem like as much of a sacrifice as your sacrifice. Like,
yeah, that's like, not even your body. That is actually just the thing you're...
Just a bit around, like, you've lost your bumper of your car. Right?
In this scene, we also get to see the final experiment take place, right?
Which has so much hype. So much musical hype.
Mm.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
This one's final.
Until the next episode.
Unless we get commissioned for more.
And it basically, we get to see Dalek, finally we get to see a Dalek again. But he is way stronger than any other Dalek we've seen so far. Like, as far as I was aware, the Daleks were inside these metal casings because they wouldn't survive without them. Like, they're just little blobs of intelligent mass. And they're in this thing because that gives them mobility and everything. But this was like a super strong mega squid that just like wraps its foreskin around Mr. Stradivarius, whatever his name is. And like
sucks him right up his cloaca.
Yes. Oh. You know what? This is going to sound weird, but I thought about the word cloaca earlier today.
Why are you all thinking and saying the word cloaca?
It's out of the room.
I don't know why. I think it was something to do with having sex with fish or something and it came up. But anyway, so...
What do you guys get up to? Cool.
Fine. But yeah, like, I mean, this is a much more mobile and seems physically quite powerful being, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if a Dalek, its outer casing is stricken at any point, you don't then expect the innards of it to be even more menacing.
Yeah, exactly.
This doesn't seem to happen elsewhere.
Yeah, but also, I've got a question about how this is going to work, because this is now we've got to the gene splicing thing.
Yeah.
And Dalek Sek very clearly says, you've all sacrificed something.
Yeah.
It's now time for me to sacrifice myself. And the way that this gene splicing happens, the way that this final experiment is to... And, I mean, spoiler alert, it's super successful. The way that it works is he merges with a human. That means we have a maximum of 4 human Daleks that we can produce. Because every single one of them is going to merge with a human, turn into a human Dalek, and then what? They're going to bone and repopulate the Earth? Like, I'm assuming, I can't remember part two, but...
even think about that. That is huge.
I feel like that's a massive plot hole.
Well, didn't Davros create Daleks, at least one race of Daleks at some point, from his cells? And there's not much of him left. Maybe in a later episode.
I was sure he boned a tonsil.
Oh.
No. I think you're right.
Some skin off and with the right chromatid solution or whatever, or alien resurrection tubes.
Yeah.
Then they could lab grow a lot more. I don't know.
So why don't they do just do that with Daleks instead?
Oh, yeah.
If they can clone lots of human Daleks, why do they have to create human Daleks in the first place? Why don't they just clone Daleks, which is what they would much rather do?
How does one make a Dalek?
I think they are cloned at this point, aren't they? Like, they used to be a normal people, but then, whatever, later on, they're just cloned.
Well, he does say Daleks will walk again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they used to be a people just like the Thal on Skaro, and then there was nuclear fallout or whatever, and they mutated into those blobs. But I don't know. I mean, either they can clone or they can't clone. As in, either they can clone or they're forced to merge, and if they're forced to merge, then they're fucked either way.
Let's say you need at least 10 to be able to clone.
Sucks to be you, Daleks, because there are just 4 of you.
But they can reproduce by boning.
So, all right. Okay, so they pick... But do they not also pick way more than 4 people for the final experiment?
Yeah, there's
but
a
the
whole
gamma line. Thing. I think this can come to fruition. Well, let's put a pin on this for the second episode.
For the second episode, yeah. But so far, it's bullshit.
It's
and if
bullshit.
The gamma strike is actually enough to do all this, then why do they need this ulterior final experiment?
Well, that's the thing. Maybe the other Daleks don't think they need it. Just sick.
Yeah, maybe. I have no explanation. Anyway, cool. Pin.
I would also say at this point that as Pythagoras is subsumed into the parts, body part we shall not name, the squid does look like it's loving it.
Yeah.
He's
face docking with Stradivarius, dude.
It was quite erotic and, I don't know, maybe a bit Lovecraftian.
How was it like?
I'm not saying I got off on it.
No, I'm just saying it's like, okay, so the Dalek essentially becomes the head. And then everything else is still humanoid, including how sharply dressed he is. And it's kind of like, that's cool, but sure, what gene splicing? What if you ended up on the bottom? Like, you didn't have feet, you just had a Dalek.
So it's like an Absorbaloff kind of situation where you have, like, a head here or face on your ass.
How have they designed that? Maybe there's just, like, you've just got, like, mop feet, but you've got Daleks.
Presumably they use the exact same technology for creating the human Dalek as they would for creating the pig slaves, right? So the pig slaves are human beings with a pig's head for some reason, and then the intelligence has been sucked out of them.
Why? Why do they need pigs?
Because pigs, genetically speaking, are very similar to humans.
Okay, but that's okay. My question is, how does it help them be slaves? Like, so if you took my brain out and put a pig's brain in, you wouldn't get any work out of me. I wouldn't be able to do anything.
Well, the pig slaves are clearly cleverer than pigs, right? Actually, this is so dumb. Like, there is no need to do... If you can suck intelligence out of people, or you can manipulate them, you can turn them into slaves psychologically, intellectually, you can turn them into slaves, just do that. Just ignore the pig element entirely.
Yeah, and one of the things that annoyed me was that pigs are one of the most intelligent non-primates out there. So they're almost the worst choice you could have for a prototypically dumb species.
But do they want dumb slaves? They don't want dumb slaves, do they?
They want dumber slaves. I don't know.
I suppose.
They want the second cheapest bottle of wine on the menu.
Do they? Because we're going to meet Laszlo again. And he says, I escaped before they took my identity, I think. So maybe it's not a question of taking intelligence. It's taking, like, self-awareness or something. Memory and self-awareness.
Maybe pigs are the exact right pitch, and then at the end they can kill them all and have lots of bacon. I don't know.
Excellent idea. Anyway, cut to a music number.
Yeah.
Which is a whole song about boning.
Yeah. It really is. Also, possibly a three-way.
Oh, really? Well, I just remember her saying,
at the beginning it was like, you, me, and her. One of the lines is like that. And then it's like, you put the devil in
me. Yeah, you put the devil in me. My evil little angel, you put the devil in me.
Yeah.
It's clearly just saying, my vagina, you just slid your penis inside it. Spoken subtitles, ladies and gentlemen.
I really wish you wrote West End music on super literal.
Sorry. Really wanted to say that into the microphone. Anyway...
A musical number, what do we think of a musical number in Who?
I didn't think it was too shabby, although it was a bit repetitive.
Is that right?
You want every second, really, in Doctor Who to be doing something, and so her just repeating the same line 4 or 5 times, okay, maybe true to a musical number, but you could make it a bit more propulsive.
Sure.
Why did Martha, upon seeing Laszlo...
Fuck up their entire performance?
Why did she not walk around the back?
I know!
Why did she not... walked straight across the back of the stage? Why did she feel like she could use the showgirls, the literal focal point of everyone's eyes,
as human shields,
as camouflage? Hide in plain sight. Not like that, Martha. Not like that.
Yeah. No, Miriam and I were watching this episode before. We both just went completely livid and going like, why? What the fuck are you doing? Yeah, totally ridiculous. And it's done in such a... It's executed in such a childish manner. It's as though you had two competing choreographers working on this one scene. One who made this fantastic musical number and the other one who's done the choreography for Martha. Because she's not moving like a normal human being. Like, her hiding is like her dancing with them, and it's just nonsense.
Okay, so Martha can't dance? She can't do everything? She's anyway, a doctor, not a dancer.
So Laszlo runs off.
I'm a doctor, I don't dance right now. Damn it, Jim.
Laszlo runs off after being discovered by everyone in the theatre.
Yeah.
Thanks, Martha. Subterfuge. Anyway, so, yeah, we all go chasing after her. Martha runs off to try to find where she's gone and gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
And this is where she actually becomes useful.
Yeah, exactly. Even her shit moves on stage and the fact that she totally sabotaged everything, even that is already a first step in her just evidencing some agency.
Yep.
Yeah.
You say that, though, but charge. Doesn't she just run off and get captured by pigs?
Yeah, but she takes the initiative. Like, she runs after him.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, oh, look, it's the Phantom of the Opera. And then she runs after him, which is exactly what this is. So anyway, I really think we need to speed up, guys.
Yeah, yeah. At this point, you've also got the Doctor in some, I don't know, completely abandoned part of the theatre. And it is clear that there are only three rows of spectators.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When you see the heads, like, facing the audience shot, the audience is totally cloaked in shadow because there is no audience, ladies and gentlemen.
None whatsoever. And the Doctor's up in the gallery, or wherever it is, and he's twiddling with the sample, his splooge.
Oh.
The artificial genetic engineering. Oh, you're so clever.
Mm. Oh, this is clever. Oh, we forgot a sorry. There's a
sorry so sorry coming up as well.
Oh, when he looks at Laszlo first. Not Laszlo, the first pig.
No, the first pig, yeah, but that's just like, a sorry.
Sorry. Oh, no, he's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm so sorry.
We're all sorry.
Yeah. Oh, you're so clever. Oh, you're so thick. Oh, you're so...
Oh, I'm so hard.
I won't articulate exactly how you're clever or thick. I will just know it, and you as the audience can infer it.
Yeah. But this is a special type DNA. DNA type 467-989.
Oh, that's the planet code.
Yes, exactly. That's the planetary code.
Scaro.
Yeah.
Scaro.
Then you went off.
Yeah. Well done, Doc.
He's at least got to act by this point. This was about the first acting Tennant has done in this episode, apart from just bossing people around.
By the way, he runs off, leaving this, I'm assuming, kind of dangerous to fall into the wrong hands piece of alien junk lying around.
Yeah.
Also, anyway.
So what part of a Dalek is this splooge? I may have just answered my own question.
Prostate. Or splooge, yeah.
Oh, shit. I answered one of my earlier questions. The splooge is a fucked up or an errant splicing experiment. And when I said, how did they get the
so it's right, an aborted Dalek,
yeah,
is what
yeah,
you're
essentially,
saying.
An aborted Dalek pig slave or something. They basically went through loads of them and they perfected the technique. Fair play. That's good experimentation. Great science, Dalek.
Why is there this one tiny bit in the sewers?
That's just the one they found.
Yeah, big system. They're probably dotted all over. Right, pigs probably picked most of them up, just missed this one.
But...
Get what you paid for.
Oh. All right, anyway, so he's identified it as coming from Scaro, runs off, Martha's now being kidnapped by a pig slave, and the Doctor, taking his time, by the way, puts on his coat, climbs down the stairs.
Gives Tallulah plenty of time to come into the room.
Yeah.
Also, can you soundbite her noises at this point as she's sort of angry at having to follow him down the manhole? Because if you listen back to that scene... Weirdest fucking noises.
Oh, in answer to your question, yes, I can, and yes, I will.
Are they this right now? That was really good.
Ah, I fooled you. Here they are.
The guy.
Oh, I thought I'd been vindicated.
Okay. Anyway, so they're now wandering around the tunnel system. Holy shit, we really need to speed up because we've recorded an hour and 16.
Yeah, aren't we?
We're close to it.
There's only a few new scenes. And Frank and his pig pals and all the Hooverville prisoners turn up and everything's fine and no one's come to any harm whatsoever.
Yet.
Yes. Before then, though, we have a couple of things, I think.
Really?
First off, they encounter an actual Dalek. Because there's a Dalek wandering around. We see the silhouette. He pulls her into, like, this little niche. And the Dalek whizzes past. He looks at the Dalek and goes, oh, fuck. really? It's the Daleks? They're always here? Even though about 2 minutes earlier he had identified the thing, the blob, the splooge, the prostate, as coming from the planet Skaro.
Yeah.
Why is he surprised to see a Dalek?
Oh, goodness.
I'm pretty sure he ran into the sewers because he knew that there were Daleks.
But he has. He says, what's his lines? That, you know, I lose everything and they always survive.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what the Daleks
are saying. Yeah, you're right.
So there's a nice mirroring there. And actually, yeah, they fucking... How many... They've survived like 5 Dalek extinctions at this point.
50 years of them, man.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But yeah,
shouldn't
that's...
be surprised at this point, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, of course
just
they
accept
back.
It. Yeah.
I'm just surprised it's this soon.
Yeah, he should just go, oh, god damn it, I'm in a Dalek episode. But... yeah, so that's number one. And number two is they encounter Laszlo.
So is this the story? Does the story happen here?
I've only made a note of when the soundbite is, but I can't remember who says it. It's 39 minutes and 45 seconds in. Sorry, so sorry. Who says it? Is it Laszlo? I don't think it's the doctor who says it.
Laszlo, at this juncture, explains what's happening. He explains the experiments.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who's going missing in for what reasons.
Yeah. Everyone's divided into two groups, clever or not. Yada, yada, yada. Clever ones go to the final experiment because there are a million of them. And everyone who isn't goes to become a pig slave because there are a million pigs.
There are 2 or 3 minutes that you guys have both erased from your memories.
Okay.
As a survival instinct, I think. Okay. Which is Tallulah and Laszlo.
Yeah.
Big emotional reunion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it takes forever. And you have her asking question after question. He's saying, yeah, I'm the pig guy who's been in the theatre and I've been living roses. He's making it as clear as he possibly can. And she goes, were you in the theatre? Why? Why me? What I gotta do with this? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Let me look at you. Laszlo? My Laszlo?
No, I'm Laszlo Smith. You're looking for Laszlo Jones.
He's around the next bend in the same sewer.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic impression.
That was ridiculous.
Well done, my friend.
So, fuck all of that. That was my note. Now you can move on.
Yeah, we get that sorry, so sorry. Can't remember who it is, but here's the soundbite.
What have they done to you?
Sorry. So sorry.
There you go.
Thanks, David.
We are fading fast.
Okay, so then people are getting scanned as to how clever they are.
Yeah.
And Martha gets scanned and she is?
Above average or no, what did they say? Is it above average or... No,
above
it's high.
Average intelligence.
Oh, is that what they say?
Or, yeah, something like that.
It's basically, it's high or low levels of... Yeah.
And they play the price is right, but just with... it's like, higher or lower?
$1.
Oh, and also we get the scene of the workman on the mast.
Yes.
Yes, the mast.
Oh, fixing the Dalekanium.
Dalekanium, or as Tom Baker referred to it in the audiobook of, I can't remember which Patrick Troughton adventure it was, bing bong, that would be the power of the Daleks. Bing bong.
Dalekanium.
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 Yes, I like
Dalekanium.
Oh, would you like some Dalekanium, darling? Oh, Dalekanium.
That's Dalekanium from Dalek Khan.
Put it next to the unobtainium.
What do you mean unobtainium?
Oh, so silly me.
Yes, and behind that's the trilithium.
Trilithium.
So, yeah, did you want to have a...
are we going to have a
discussion on the bifurcated nature of intelligence? Binary nature of intelligence?
Yeah, I'm smart and you're not.
Oh, right.
Let's move on.
Well, I can't think of a comeback to that.
I'm stupid.
Big slave.
You're a stupid head.
Was anyone just slightly... I mean, I'm not black. But as a human being...
I know
just,
you.
Just to have the big black guy go, I don't think I'm stupid.
Yeah, that's super racist.
I was telling Miriam with the same thing. Like, there's the black guy is the dumb guy, and then, as in, is going to be a pig slave. And then the two white people they test, because they only test 3 people, by the way.
And Martha. We know Martha.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, yes, Martha as well. Okay, so we have... Wait, hang on. Who turns into... No, because the doc isn't tested. Because the doc sneaks up later on. Yeah. Sorry. But we also have a white dude who is deemed stupid by the Daleks. We have Laszlo.
Oh, yeah.
So, actually, you know what? Daleks, they're colorblind.
Whatever, but the director, maybe.
but thinking about it more holistically, there is some even-handedness there.
Yeah, actually, it is exactly even. They've made an effort to have it be 50-50.
Yeah, but who gets the line?
Yeah, I mean, who gets the continuing agency? Laszlo can be like Cyber Pigivon and presumably save the day with his retained emotions later on. I bet we're not going to see that poor black guy again.
No, I assume not. Yeah, so anyway, the smart people are ferried off down the corridor towards the final experiment, and the doctor shows up just before they arrive at the final experiment, just as one final kick in the nuts of Martha's aspirations for a romantic entanglement with the doctor. He goes, "You can kiss me later if you want." "You too, Frank," because he's just doling out kisses to everyone because he don't give a shit about Martha.
I did think, I was just like, "Oh shit, that happens?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, and you too, Frank." That's such a dick move.
Total dick move.
Why did you do that? That's so hard. But plus, I mean, if you get a chance to snog Andrew Garfield, you're definitely going to do it, aren't you?
Oh, dude, anecdotal value alone.
Although I'd kind of be like,
"What did you do yesterday?" "I don't know, I just made out with Spider-Man."
I feel like if Andrew Garfield wandered up to me and was like, "Hey, do you want to make out for a little bit?" I was like, "Yeah, but do you mind if you pretended to be Tobey Maguire?" Hung upside down.
Yeah. I found it a bit weird.
They're all based in New York, though, so it's got that going for it.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on. Yeah. I mean, a bit strange in that, I don't know, is it meant to hint that Frank is in some way gay or bisexual? Because earlier he seemed to be chummying up with Martha fairly
very
intensely.
Much so. Yeah. And so you stick with me and I'll make sure that you get really wet, I mean safe.
Yeah, and now the doctor's like, "You can slurp on me later, Frank," and Frank's just like, "Oh, yeah, I would like that." I did like the joke, by the way. I haven't got to say this yet.
Which joke?
The joke that Tallulah says, "But he's the smartest guy I ever dated," about Pigman Laszlo.
Oh, yeah.
Who is on the underside of the intelligence.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Mm. Yeah, so maybe you can splice that in.
"The low intelligence are taken. Become pig slaves like me."
"So that's not fair. You're the smartest guy I ever dated."
Consider it spliced. Okay, so they're heading towards the final experiment and Doc's joined them and they are now in front of all of the Daleks. Like, they actually see all of the goddamn Daleks. And what's gonna happen now? Why are they there?
So they're there for more experimentation, right? Like, we're gonna make more Dalek humans?
So I'm a little bit confused by this, because the final experiment regarding the smart people has already been performed on the one person who is not only smart, but also thinks like a Dalek. So the one who is smart and selfish and a bit of a warrior, an ex-soldier and so on.
A survivor and ambitious.
Exactly. And it's already underway. We don't know if it's successful yet, but it is certainly underway. And it's costing the life, or will potentially cost the life, of a Dalek. We have 3 Daleks to go. We have, like, 12 volunteers for the final experiments. What are they there for?
Group interview.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't even have enough Daleks to use on all of them.
This is an assessment day that they've turned up for.
There's going to be a lot of, like, critical thinking. Like, maybe some role play, some trust falls.
Yeah, can you work as part of a cult? That sort of thing.
Yeah. That was amazing. That was really good. And then they'll pick, like, one person to be, like, the head cashier.
But, so, yes, we're at the dawn of a new age.
The thing opens. Dalek sec, the experiment is complete. The doctor is hiding in amongst the crowd.
Yeah, hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
The plainest sight.
Yeah, it's absolute nonsense.
And then he even says a minute later, "Well, I can't answer the question. Why is he hiding here in plain sight?"
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what's fucked up? Is that it's not like these are other Daleks that won't know this iteration of Doctor.
Hmm.
They've met him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are other Daleks, but these other Daleks have also...
These ones have met him.
They have met him. Yeah, Paul Scarrow.
Looking at the last incredibly tall building they were in, he was there.
Yeah, true. Anyway, Dalek Sek opens his car.
he opens his boots. What's under the bonnet?
Yep. And?
And out steps.
No. That's far too straightforward and simple. You have got a cerebral cortex crouching down.
Dude, it looks like a scrotum in a net. Okay. Like that first look at it is just like bundled up. Like, imagine a nutsack, right? It's a warm day. Anyway, let's not go down that road. It's definitely a scrotum in a hairnet. That's exactly what it is.
Okay, maybe your scrotum in a hairnet.
It may very well be my scrotum in a hairnet.
Screenshot on whobackwhen.com.
Spot the difference.
Spot the balls.
Spot the balls. That's such a localised joke to people that A, have to be like 30 or older and have lived in England and got the pools. Anyway.
Wow, I didn't get that joke.
We've already lost our host.
I did not get that at all.
We'll cut that.
So yeah, but anyway, it's all incredibly slow, which, as for reasons we discussed earlier, is completely pointless.
Yeah.
And you see his hands and they're shaking and he stands up really slowly. And
hands without gloves, by the way.
Yes, yes. Then eventually we see his head.
Yeah.
And the Daleks wheel back in awe.
Yeah, and like, it is
Davy nonsense. Jones, you're not in this franchise.
Yeah, and it actually just looks like someone plonked a Dalek on top of the head of a human.
Yeah, and then he takes a leaf out of your book and goes, I am a human Dalek.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That is what we're talking about.
Yeah, he's the future.
He is the future.
End of episode.
Yeah. Why is he wearing a suit? Why is only his body affected?
Because they got it right. They got the splicing right. They engineered it.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't their first experiment, man.
No, this is the final.
final experiment.
This is the exam of their shitty chemistry course or whatever.
Okay, yeah. So, end of episode. And we do get to see a next time on Doctor Who, which is just all about how, for some reason, like, random hobos have easy access to firearms. And it's all out war in Manhattan.
Yeah.
It's America.
America, fuck yeah.
America.
Number one.
And there's one shot of your future Dalek man, and he's just looking moody. And no idea what he's doing next week.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't remember at all.
No. Right. Just one final thing to note.
Okay.
In the credits, someone is credited as Hero Pig. No idea who that even is.
Hero
Whatever.
That is awesome.
That is amazing.
Reviews.
Take it away, Nicoletti.
All right. It's an obviously poor episode for loads of things. All of the plot holes that we discussed. The relatively hackneyed use of Daleks. They had to pay a lot of money to use the Daleks to Terry Nation's estate. Why for this? Like, why? So, like, it could have been some other, you know, horrible villain that they concocted for this purpose.
Mm.
Did not need the Daleks for this. So that was a bit anticlimactic. New York was cool as a setting. Depression-era New York was cool, actually. Solomon was actually pretty good. He's pretty cool. He's pretty badass. I'm going to give this a 1.6. On the Richter scale.
All right. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
I'm going to write down my score. Are you going next?
Nick pointed to me. I am his successor.
Okay, I got
to
write down my score before you write your...
Okay, so shut up.
Go for your review. Go for it.
Okay, this episode, again, not as I'd been led to expect, wasn't an out-and-out disaster. But it's got fewer jokes than Shakespeare Code, less tension than Gridlock, and worse accents than the Doctor's Royal Belgian one. Why pigmen? We've had cats and rhinos, still no hippos. But okay, I get it. Someone's... on the staff's brother wants to open a zoo in Cardiff. But come on, try a bit harder. They're so cheap. The extras are so listless and unthreatening. They never run. They jog at best. They don't reach up. They don't loom. There's no threat there. They're not even vaguely disturbing. We've had so many slave sidekicks, even since I joined Who Back When. We've had the Ooze, the Slabs, the Jadoon. I'd say they're even worse than the Macra last week. They're so very, very pointless. The Daleks, we seem to be... taken on an arc with the Daleks, the Cult of Skaro. They are sort of progressing that storyline, so I can sort of see why they might bring them back to funnel the Daleks into some new direction, but it's not convincing yet. We have to see next week if they live up to any of this potential, and it doesn't seem likely. The episode wasn't torture to sit through, so much as underwhelming, lacking any spark, often quite slow, lacking in intensity. It's all mild peril, exposition, very little we haven't seen before, until the human Dalek, and he might be shit. Laszlo is terrible. Tennant didn't have much character in this one. He reacted to the Daleks, he asked questions, he bossed people around. Martha had even less. I'll give it a 1.9. What have I done, Leon? What have I done?
I gave this a 1.9.
Oh. You gave it my 1.9.
I wrote it down beforehand.
I wrote mine down hours ago.
Oh, well, I wrote mine down before you said it. Yeah, spoiler alert, I'm giving this a 1.9 as well. That was a fantastic review, by the way. All right. Both of you have beautifully encapsulated this episode already, so I'm just going to comment on a couple of points, and I'm going to add a couple of my own, but I'm not going to echo. The New York setting, yes, also like this, but I really don't feel like we got much of it at all. We had a panorama, we had the Statue of Liberty, which, by the way, is a giant, what are they called? The angels? Weeping angels?
Oh, yeah.
That's a giant weeping angel, by the way.
Yeah.
We get the panorama of Manhattan, and we get Hooverville, but we don't really get any New York. I like the New York setting. I like that you have New Yorkers. And I actually kind of like the cheesy, what are you talking about? I still can't do the accent. I like that. But I'd like to see that actually interacting on the streets. I want to see...
more New York.
Yeah. I want to see actual fucking people walking around the streets and doing things and having jobs and, like, you know, whatever. So that's, I think, kind of a lost opportunity or missed opportunity. What else? Pigs were mentioned. I don't understand why we have a second encounter in New Who in less than three complete series of... alien, like, pig mutants, but we don't get a reference back to the first one. We had a pig astronaut, a fucking space pig, in season one, and now at the start of season three, no one goes, oh yeah, because this is what aliens do, because this is exactly what fucking aliens do. God damn it, Doctor, do you not remember what happened, like, 7 episodes ago? Or, like, 10, whatever, 50, something episodes ago? So yeah, another missed opportunity. Daleks. I think the Daleks were really interesting in this one. I don't understand their plot at all. The fact that their evil bad guy plan is so dumb that not even they themselves know what it is, and that it's everything is spliced across their complete roster of plans, everything is called the exact same thing, it's absolute garbage. That's what pulls this down for me. But the Daleks themselves are super interesting. They're insightful. They suddenly are echoing the same emotions and thoughts that the Doctor has expressed in previous episodes, as you pointed out, Nick. I think that's awesome. Laszlo is absolute garbage, total nonsense, complete drivel. Why did we not talk about how he, like, the producers have deliberately made him not quite as unbonable as the rest of the pig slaves? Like, he's kept his hair and so on and so forth. Like, he doesn't wear the full pig makeup. As far as we're aware, he was physically changed, but intellectually he remained the same. So why has he retained his hair and so on? Like, fuck it. Yeah. Anyway, clearly those two are still going to get it on in episode two. It's going to be like a Beauty and the Beast kind of situation where it's, oh, I'm assuming, shit if I'm wrong, but like, whatever, fuck it. Yes, I'm giving this a 1.9 as well. Nowhere near as bad as I remembered it being.
Well, that concludes View of Daleks in Manhattan.
Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Join us next time on Who Back When. The next new Who review is going to be...
Evolution of the Daleks.
The next classic Who review is going to be...
The Abominable Snowman?
Yes! And the next audio Who review, whenever that's going to be, is The Scapegoat. Can the ladies and gentlemen of Podcastland follow you chaps on Twitter?
Absolutely can, at Nickelaley.
Ooh!
That's like ukulele, but with nickel, except not.
His Twitter handle is Nickelaley. That's like nickel with ukulele. No, that's like ukulele, but with Nick. Oh, fuck
you're
it.
Just making it worse.
That's the song.
When I say Nick, you mean
my life. Everyone's a fucking song for me.
His name's Nickelaley, he's a dick. It's like ukulele, but with Nick.
It's the best so far.
Droobaloobs, what are you?
I'm not Droobaloobs for a start. I'm Drew Back When.
Here's a soundbite of you singing that in some musical style.
Okay.
I'm Drew Back When. You'll like me.
What about you, Mr. Leon?
I'm at Ponkin. Here's a soundbite of JD singing how you spell that.
P-O-N-K-E-N, Ponkin.
Thanks, JD. Okie dokie. Catch you in the next one. Cha-chow.
Bye.
Bye. Kablamo. Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what the cosmos compels you to and spread the gospel of Who Back When. Tell your friends. Don't have any friends? No problemo. Tell some strangers. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/WhoBackWhen. All in one word. Are you on Google Plus? Then find us on Google Plus. That's plus Who Back When. And when you do, tell us why you're on Google Plus. Who Back When just got its very own Twitter account, no lie, so give us a follow. You guessed it, that's @WhoBackWhen, all in one word. Check us out on SoundCloud, vote us up on Reddit, listen to us on Stitcher, and head on over to our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can leave a comment, submit a review of your own, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, and more, which increases in kablamos with every episode. And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Not only would it make us super chuffed, and it really, really would, but as thanks, we will transmigrate your iTunes nom de plume into the credit list of trailers for fake Doctor Who audiobooks produced by Who Back When. Have a poke around our bonus episodes to make more sense of that. That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other. Catch your ear balls in our next Classic Who Review, New Who Review, or, still funny, Audio Who Review. Cha-chow.
Who Back When?